Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their masters to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord, it is your word, and you promise that it will not go out and return void, that it will go out with power, that it is alive, that it is eternal. And so now, Lord, we offer up this sacred moment for the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. On June 4th, 1989, after 6 weeks of protesting against the communist regime, a student-led democracy movement filled Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. You may remember the time period. The Chinese leadership ordered the swift carnage of the protesting students that day. And according to worldwide news sources, around 10,000 students were massacred that day. Well, on the following day, because the Chinese Communist government wanted to show force and show they meant business, on the following day, a column of military battle tanks rumbled through Tiananmen Square, sending forth a clear message: the campaign for democracy is over. Thousands of defeated onlookers stood on the sidelines and made sure that they gave wide berth to these armored vehicles. Suddenly, one lone protester carrying a shopping bag walked to the front of the column, causing the tanks to stop. It was a standoff. The tanks shifted position, and the protester shifted position and got in front. And this went back and forth, time after time. The man refused to yield. The tanks shut off their engines. The protester climbed on to the lead tank and started to talk to the soldiers inside. Now, this conversation lasted only a few minutes, and onlookers pulled the man off the tank, and he disappeared into the crowd. To this day, nobody knows who the protester was. Nobody knows who pulled him off the tank, and nobody knows what the conversation was about with those in the tank. But the picture that day, the photograph that day, went around the world. The unknown protester became known as Tank Man. Tank Man. He was on the cover of Time magazine, and he was voted one of the most important people of the 20th century. The Hebrew word for faith, emunah. The first mention of that word is Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. You may recall the context. It's one of those first battles that Israel has with Amalek. And Moses sends Joshua into the valley to fight the Amalekites. And Moses gets up on the hill with the staff of God. And he holds up his arms, he holds up the staff. And as long as his arms are held up, Israel prevails in the battle. But it becomes a long day. How long can you hold your arms up? And when Moses' arms start to fall, the Amalekites start to prevail. And so two men, Aaron and Hur, they get stones and they put them under Moses' arms. And Aaron and Hur sit on these stones and they hold Moses' arms up. And here's what it says in verse 12. His hands remained steady. Emunah. That's our word for faith, first time. His hands remained steady until sunset. Their faith was not nebulous. They watched the battle unfolding in front of them, and they immediately acted in obedience to God. Now that word, emunah, in the Hebrew, it acts as, and now you grammar people are going to love this, okay? I can see it in your eyes. It acts as what they call a gerund. See, I can see it in your eyes already. A gerund. Well, not all of us are up on the meaning of gerund. So let me explain what a gerund is. It's a verb ending in ing that acts as a noun. That's just a very simple explanation. It's an ing word acting as a noun. They bonded over their shared love of hiking. Hiking being the gerund. I hope to set a new record in swimming. So you get the drift. Emunah is a word that operates as a gerund, but we do not have an English word for it because literally it says faithing. Faithing. We translate it faithfulness, faithful, but its actual translation in Hebrew is faithing. It is as a gerund, as a verb. Why the English lesson? Because faith is not an abstract belief. Faith is not just having some piece of intellectual knowledge. Faith is always, always rooted in action. Faithing. Aaron and Hur did not have some abstract belief. Well, I think God will get us out of this. They are steadying, faithing, moving, taking action, Moses' arms. Now, here's the thing about the action of faith that people take. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes the action is rather bizarre. Sometimes it's rather crazy. Like Tank Man. Now his faith was political and in a political system. okay? But that was a pretty radical step to take, right? That tank man took. But biblical faith is even more. Biblical faith is when a man takes action and he is told to build a boat because it's going to rain. Now, it had never rained before, right? What is rain? I don't know, but it's going to, and the world's going to be flooded, and you got to build a boat. And he does it. That's emna. Biblical faith is when a man is asked to leave his home country. Now, this man has no Bible. This man has no Old Testament. He has nothing really, there's not much to go on. His name is Abram. He maybe got some stories from his ancestors, I don't know, probably. But there's not a whole lot of history there to go on. He's not a Jew, right? And this man is asked to leave his hometown and go somewhere, and he's not told the destination. Just go, and I'll tell you later. Bizarre, right? But he does it. Biblical faith, action, is a woman who is in her 90s, and she is told by God to start preparing a nursery. Pick the wallpaper out, get the crib, get the stuff, start putting the nursery together, because guess what? You're going to have a baby. And so she starts to build her nursery. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us over and over again, by faith this happened. By faith they did this. Emna, Abel offered a sacrifice. Enoch walked with God. He lived out a righteous, God-obeying life. Faithing, taking action. Always in the Bible. And it's not just that alone, but it's about the object of that faith. It's not the quality of the faith, it's not the amount of the faith that saves you. It is the object of the faith that saves. I have a lot of faith in the Pirates. Where's that going to go? Right? The object of your faith is what's important. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, did Abraham have a high quality of faith? Do we say that Abraham, man, he had faith. Man, he had a lot of it. Well, let's look at a few places. What about Genesis chapter 12? Abram then and Sarai go into Egypt. And the first thing that Abram says to Sarah is, he says, you know what? You're a really beautiful woman. And we get down there, they find out I'm your husband, they're going to kill me to get you. So you need to tell them that you're my sister. What kind of a guy does that? What kind of faith is that? Now, he didn't do that once. He did it again. In chapter 20, after God had done so many things in his life, he goes down and they meet Abimelech. Same thing. Abraham says, you're a beautiful woman. They're going to kill me to get you. Tell them you're my sister. And then Sarah comes to him and says, you know what? This promise about having a baby, it's not going to happen. Here's my maid. Here's my servant. You have a baby with her. And Abraham does it. That's not a high quality faith, really. No, it's not the quality, it's not the amount. It's the object. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our faith needs to be active, but it has to be centered on the right object. In Psalm 33, verse 4, our psalm today, it says, the word of the Lord is true, and all his works are faithful. All his works are emna, is the word there. God is a God who is faithing. He is actively, has actively at work for us. That's why the psalmist says, I'm not putting my trust in kings. I'm not putting my trust in great men. I'm not even going to put my trust in horses, right? That was a big deal then. I'm reading a book, The British Are Coming, about the Revolutionary War. And, you know, if you want to win a war back in antiquity, you better have a good horse. You better have a lot of them. And, you know, the British, the horses had to come over here on a boat. Most of them died. I mean, there's a lot of reasons about what happened there, but that's one of the big ones, getting the stuff from England to here. And one of those, the most important, were the horses. Psalmist says, it's vain to hope in the strength of a horse, a king, a mighty man. Hopes and faith. Faith is not based on high hopes. It's not based on positive thinking. It's not based on the unseen. It's based on Jesus and what he's done for us. There's no better object for our faith than the Lord Jesus. The people in this great Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 that we read about today, it says they could have gone back. They could have gone back to the old land, to the old life, to the old ways. But they did not. They didn't go back, and then it says this amazing verse. They died in faith, not having received the promise. They died in their faith, not having received it. Because they staked everything. They staked everything on its certainty, on God's promise, on who the Lord is and his word. They staked it all on that and they died. Like standing in front of a tank, right? Staking it all. If you're not placing everything at the feet of Jesus, then you are missing the greatest opportunity anyone has ever had. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.